The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, at that time, he said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants." Last year, I had to make a number of trips back east due to the deaths of several family members. I don't particularly enjoy being squashed into an overcrowded metal tube, hurtling through the air 5 or 6 miles up, but we do what we have to do. In any case, since almost, what seems to me, almost everyone on the plane is younger than I am at this stage, I'm always fascinated about how the kids are able to write texts on their phones only using their thumbs. I've watched them, you know, the passengers who sit next to me, and I've tried to do that to no avail. I learned to type using all of my fingers, and I've had a love affair with QWERTY since 10th grade. So I hunt and peck with the one finger on the iPhone screen. I just have to live with that because I can't transition to thumbs after using, you know, the whole keyboard. What confuses me most, I think, is the use of so many abbreviations in text messages and websites. IDK, for example. I don't know. TBH. I think it means to be honest. And that infamous NSFW. Not suitable for work. Maybe that's a self-explanatory after seeing some of the pictures after I got onto the next page of that site. Not suitable for work. But I've caught on to the latest abbreviation making the rounds, AI, artificial intelligence. It threatens the future of humanity, thus saith one of the individuals helping to create this. And a few weeks before that, one of the major news networks challenged a panel. Could they identify which of two application letters was written by AI and which one was written by a warm-blooded individual? The point of this, at least for us gathered for worship around Word and Sacrament, is the unspoken question, how long till pastors use AI to write a sermon? Who will be the first to use the downtime on a Saturday night to sip blackberry juleps, while just pressing a button and watching a few pages print out. It's done. Who's going to know? Maybe that's what I did today. Well, you know, personally, I hope that day never comes. And yes, I have written my share of sermons on Saturdays while stuck at an airport, hoping the flight delay doesn't last too long, or to the Saturday night special composed after midnight because of five parish deaths in less than a week, or one time I found myself at the typewriter, yes, that long ago, watching the sun come up, no sermon, and worship starting in less than 2 hours. Boy, was that stressful. But I don't believe technology can understand what the New Testament calls the mystery of faith, because faith is revealed by the Holy Spirit, a great gift which, once given and especially when nurtured, sets us on the journey of life with a daily companion, Jesus Christ our Lord. You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. We might say that Jesus was anticipating AI in the electronic age, in which time, hours, knowledge is expanding, and one can virtually find everything on the internet. Thank heavens for YouTube to guide me in simple household repairs. But Jesus is saying something different, that the mystery of God cannot be understood by intelligence. Whether that intelligence belongs to philosophers or geniuses or AI, but rather by kids, by infants. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? We infants can understand something that the greatest human minds cannot. We all know about, and many have experienced, the total inability of infants to take care of themselves, to take charge of life and try to determine the course of even the next hour, not to speak of the next 24 hours. So just what is it about infants that Jesus finds so compelling? Perhaps the best known saying of Jesus concerning kids is this, and I quote the King James Version because I appreciate the beautiful language, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." You see, the one thing about children, indeed the greatest need on their part, is their total dependency on others. Now, I know very well what the no stage can be like for exhausted parents, or the incessant question, why? At the core of their existence, children are totally dependent on others for health care, for food, for shelter, for safety, for healthy relationships. Their very lives depend on the goodness of those to whom they have been entrusted. So Jesus is not saying that children are morally superior to adults. After all, teaching kids to share a toy is opening a window on adult human nature too. Jesus is saying something else when it comes to matters of faith. So let's remind ourselves of what Martin Luther said about this, and this is a radical statement. I believe that I cannot believe. I'm going to repeat that. I believe that I cannot believe. That's what he wrote in the Small Catechism in 1529. I believe that by my own reason or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. So there it is in all its simplicity. The human mind, he is saying, is totally incapable of understanding who Jesus is as God's Son, the Messiah. In fact, the human mind, call it reason or common sense, or personality, or whatever, cannot comprehend God's grace and mercy simply because it is so totally opposite of what we think is fair, what we think is just, what we think is needed to make our lives whole. No, Luther says you cannot believe in Jesus as God's Son apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Apart from the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus might be a moral example like Buddha, a teacher, a philosopher. He might even be a rabbi, but that's it. Many people stop their inquiry of Jesus right there. Jesus is a good guy, maybe the goodest guy in all of history, but that's it. Rather, Luther says, God sends God's Spirit upon the baptized so that we are then able to say in our hearts, that's who he is. And then he continues in the Catechism, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and preserves it in union with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You see, this is the childlike faith of which Jesus speaks. Letting go and letting God is a succinct way of putting it. You have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. In other words, faith is a gift. Faith is not memorizing the catechism. Faith is not being a goody two-shoes. Faith is not competition with other denominations or religions. Rather, faith, as Jesus speaks of, is simply trust in God. Trust in God's promises. Trust that no matter how grim the day looks, ultimately, God is in control, and God will vindicate those who trust God's word. Look to the cross to see how that works out. So what? Where does that leave us? What good is it to know this? Well, there's much I could say about this, but let me mention just two aspects of every human life. We spend an inordinate amount of energy dealing with our personal guilt and shame. Guilt that you've screwed up royally, and shame that you don't measure up to someone else's expectations. How can one possibly be in the same room as the wise and the intelligent and feel good about oneself with those destructive feelings lurking in the shadows of our hidden lives? After all, everyone here is better than I am. Faith says something different. Faith says, you are baptized. That's not an insurance policy against the negative stuff that happens to us during the course of our lives. Rather, our baptism into the faith of Jesus says, you are loved just for who you are, and you don't need to prove yourself to me in any way, shape, or form. Receive the blessing of the Spirit so that you can live into this truth. You are loved just for who you are. The latest edition of the Living Lutheran magazine has a brief article about today's gospel lesson. And while the focus of the article is about the rest we all seek, so that we might freely serve our neighbor in need, it is all the result of God giving us the grace to trust in the promises of Jesus. At the end of today's lesson, Jesus speaks these words of wondrous comfort and care. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is saying to us are words of grace and mercy, words which we need to trust. The world has brutalized us in so many ways that words of heavenly promise are sometimes hard to believe. So this is where the gift of the Holy Spirit comes into play. God is saying, I am giving you the ability to trust my words as you hear my words in Jesus. Take them to heart and see how you can live life differently. And now I will defer to the last sentence in the Living Lutheran article because this sums it all up for you and for me. When life is yoked to Jesus under God's gracious and merciful reign, free from the burden of sin and the need to prove ourselves, free to rest deeply and securely in God's grace, we find rest. Amen.